Please turn now in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we'll start our reading at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac said unto Abraham his father, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead, in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed Shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor. Huz is firstborn, Buz his brother, Kemuel the father of Aram, Chesed and Hazor and Pildash and Jillah and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor Abram's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Reumah, she bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight as we have read. Let's ask the Lord to bless us now, please. Father, as we come to the word tonight, we pray that our hearts would be open and that the Spirit of God will help us to speak and to hear. And Lord, take away, we pray, any and every distraction. And please help us, teach us from thy holy word the necessary lessons of faith and life. And teach us, Lord, where we have sometimes been forgetful or maybe filled with neglect, or maybe, Lord, it's simply unbelief. Take away unbelief from every one of us. May we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Go before us now, Lord, we pray. Save any who are still without Christ. Work in all our hearts, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Perhaps you noticed as we read in the book of Hebrews that one of the great promises God gave to his servant was that his seed would be as the stars of heaven and as the sand upon the seashore. Well, that promise was taken directly from what God said to Abraham here in Genesis chapter 22. And that seed of Abraham, the seed of every single believer, and the number of that seed of Abraham by faith, for we are all the children of Abraham by faith as we've come to Christ, that seed is without number, and that number is great. And the Lord has promised, and that promise was fulfilled in all that the Lord Jesus came to do. We're thinking tonight about the trial of your faith and the situation that involved Abraham and Isaac. The trial of our faith, we are told in the book of James, works patience. And the Lord Jesus said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I think you will admit that this is very hard to take into our own hearts when the trial is upon us. It's hard medicine. It's a needle that is very big and painful, and a procedure that is too much for us to bear. Think it not strange, we are told, concerning the fiery trial that is sent to try you, as though some strange thing happened. And yet that is immediately our reaction when a trial comes. What have I done wrong, Lord? Why has this come in my pathway? I don't think I deserve this. What are you doing in my life? It seems the more determined we are to follow the Lord, the more intense that the trial will become. And it may lead some of us to think, it would be better not to have the trial. It would be better to have the easier road. I'd be much more content with that. And maybe a slightly distant walk with God. It may appear so, but be certain, my friend, that the richest deposits of spiritual wealth are to be found in the deep mine of God's providential purposes in our lives. You cannot get there easily. None of us can climb that mountain without blood, sweat, and tears. They only come through the hard digging and the back-breaking of spiritual obedience and a faithful walk with God. This is the case of Abraham and Isaac. And let us be reminded again tonight of the valuable lessons that we can learn from this account. First of all, please notice the great weight of this trial. The great weight of this trial. The Lord tells us that He was testing Abraham to see if he feared the Lord. Other occasions, as we have looked at this passage of Scripture, I have pointed out to you that God's knowledge is never incomplete. The Lord does not do things to find out information, but He does things so that we will find out information about ourselves. And when we're in possession of that, how will we react? And so when the Lord said to him, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac," and that little word that follows, "whom thou lovest." Why does the Lord put that in there? What parent would there be who would have a son born to them that wouldn't love them? What situation would a parent, in all reasonableness and all capacity of sane behavior, would not love their child? And yet the Lord emphasized this for Abraham. I believe He emphasized it for Isaac, but He's emphasizing it for you and me. Here was some trial that was going to involve the heart of the individual. It was a trial that was going to pull the very heart out of that man. And my friend, that's exactly what the Lord will do in our lives. He will touch us at the nerve ending. And He will touch us there because it's when we find something that hurts us or something that touches us in that capacity, it's then that our attention is piqued. It's then that we're going to say, "Lord, You have my attention. What do You intend to do? Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." We know that Abraham had another son, Ishmael, but we know that Isaac was the son of the promise. Isaac was the fulfillment of Genesis 12 and verse 3, that all nations of the world would be blessed through him. He was the child of promise, and the seed of the Savior and Messiah would come not through Ishmael, but through Isaac. Abraham knows all this. Oh yes, the Lord had made it very clear that the promise and the Messiah was going to come through Isaac, who was the son of the promise. The Savior was going to come through him. So now what does Abraham think? The severity and the weight of this trial, what does Abraham think now? Take Isaac and you're going to offer him as a sacrifice for me. There are degrees of trial from God, and we must learn obedience and submission and trust from them. When we question God in the trial that He brings to us, it is not the step of faith. It is the step of question, the step of uncertainty, the step of a lack of trust. But God will bring us to the point where He is testing and trying us, that we might learn, no matter how heavy that weight might be. It's not easy. And many of us, we have to learn the same lessons, sadly, over and over again, in order to be, if we could say it this way, promoted to the next level of our walk with God, our fellowship, not so that God is proved to Himself, but so that we have that capacity of knowledge and of faith walking with the Lord. And sometimes the fire is intense and it's very hot and the waters might be deep for us to go through. Or in this case, the mountain was high that had to be climbed, and there was a great weight upon Him, and it was immense, and it required the total surrender. It required of Him the total trust. It required of this man everything that he had. We've been asking for prayer for a former student of Whitfield and her little daughter, Stella. And you know that she has come through very, very serious heart surgery. And to think of that mother and that father and the trial that they have come through, and it's not finished yet, of seeing their little one and having to release her from their hands into the hands of the nurses and the surgeons to go into open heart surgery initially. And then when that is finished, it's not all over, because there are complications. And the complications that follow mean that she has to have a follow-up surgery. And the little one is plugged in with wires and tubes all over. And the mother sits there helpless. What can she do but pray? And as we've encouraged you folks to pray and to leave this little one before God, yes, we thank the Lord there has been some improvement, and she might now just be transferred out of the most critical care into the cardiac department. But oh, friends, this is a heavy trial for a young mother, a heavy trial that she has gone through. There's a young student that has come through our seminary. His name is Peter Bamfe. And Peter and his wife, in the will of the Lord, will be coming here for the first 2 weeks of July. Our brother is going to be preaching for the first two Lord's days here. He just graduated a couple of weeks ago from the seminary. He is a good young man, and I believe the Lord's hand is upon him. But they have a little child with a serious disability, and it's a muscle disability, but it's much more serious than that. She's not able to walk. She's not able to lift her head. She's not able to feed herself. She's very, very young, just 2 years old now. And when that trial came upon him, our brother testified, he asked God why. And especially in the hospital and in the information and knowledge we have of ministry, of many children that come into this world that are perfectly whole but are not wanted by the parents that have them. And here is a young Christian couple trying to serve the Lord, and they have this situation that they are presented with. Oh, it touches the hearts of some here specifically. And these trials are weighty trials. They're heavy trials. And yet they are trials that will, yes, test our faith. And they will sometimes push us almost to the edge. We think, and we're going to fall over. But the Lord is holding on to us at all that time. Oh, friend, whatever the trial is, that other people know about in your life, or maybe they do not know about. It's a private, it's a very secret trial, and you cannot share it with another. Yet it is intense, and it seems to be on fire. Yet know this, that no matter how heavy that issue is upon your mind and life right now, that God is able to strengthen you. He is able to help you. He is able, my friend, to carry you through such a situation. Notice, secondly, that trials will come to us when we least expect them. What about the timing of this in Abraham's life? It says very clearly in Genesis 22, verse 1, after these things. How general is the scripture sometimes? You might ask yourself the question, after what things? Well, we know from the history of what has gone on in Abraham's life, well, Isaac had been born. He was now about 14 years of age. Hagar and Ishmael had been sent away. There have been all kinds of issues going on in Abraham's life. But now we know that he is not a young man anymore. As a matter of fact, he's at least 114 years of age. So he's an old man physically, but he's also an old man spiritually. He's been on the road with God a long time, many years. And my friend, what we have to remember, no matter how old we get, and no matter how old you are, physically or spiritually in your walk with God, because you might not be old by way of number, but you've known the Lord for many years. There are many people here who have known Christ for more than 50 years of their life. But you never know when a trial will come, when you least expect it. Isaac was a young boy in the prime of his life. Abraham now quite a bit older. Perhaps Abraham was thinking to himself, all is good now. My life is well set in order and place, and I'm following the Lord, and I'm doing everything that He wants me to do. And then it happened. On a day, after these things, God called him, Abraham, I have something for you to do. My dear friend, when you receive that word, when that issue comes across your pathway, and you've been on the Christian road for a long, long time, you could be shocked by this. We could be surprised by it. But I'm saying to you tonight, be prepared for it. Because it's only the preparation of heart in obedience of faithful walking to the Lord and the very example that God has given to us from the life of His servant that we will be ready to receive that word from the Lord. Trials will come to you, friend, when you least expect them. And if we are not walking with God, they're going to hit you like a slap on the face. And they might shock you. And they might put us back on our heels. But if you are walking with the Lord, if you are in fellowship with Him, and the Lord brings along something to you, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy thing to swallow, but I'm saying this, that the closer that we are to the Lord, it doesn't mean you're immune from the trial. It doesn't mean you're immune from the testing, but it does mean that walking with the Lord each day by faith, we should not be overwhelmed by the suddenness of it. We should see that the hand of God is upon us, and He is the one who is in control. Notice thirdly, that a trial will test the reality of our faith. It's just like an engineer and contractors that build something that is supposed to stand the weight of transport trucks going over a road. And engineers may design the bridge, and the contractors may build it to the exact specifications. And as long as that thing sits there, beautiful in its architectural design and wonderful in its construction, what use is it until the trucks drive over it? It's not proven. And my friend, the trials that come in our life, they are done by the purpose of a sovereign God. And what it will do for you and me, it will test, what is your faith? What is my faith? Is there any reality to it? Is there any strength to it? Is there any substance to it to hold up under the pressure and the weight of the load that's going to go over? Yes, my friend, a trial that the Lord sends to us, it's the reality of our faith will be tested. And the Lord does this so that we will see, we will know, we will comprehend. When this came to Abraham, I say to you, the reality of his faith was real, vibrant, alive. He walked with God. He knew the Lord. And the thing that staggers us about this is that there was no hesitation in Abraham. There was an unquestioning obedience from his servant. And this was the test for Abraham, and it will be the test for us, though the circumstances will change. The essence of the thing does not change. You might not be asked to offer your son or daughter. You might not have the same trial as a Job. You might not have the same issues of a Jeremiah. But in essence, they will be the same, my friend. And the purpose of them will be to test the reality of what you say you believe in, of what I say I believe in. Where is your faith tonight? When the trial comes, my friend, we need to have our absolute and complete dependence upon the God who allows, who sends the trial for us and to us. And so when our eyes are unto the Lord and our hearts are open to Him, it is only then that we will see what God is intending in that trial. It is to strengthen us, to build us up, to equip us to be a help in the time of the need for others. What will questioning do for us at that time? Oh, it will make it all the much more painful, all the much more difficult to come through. And the Lord might say, this is a stronger testing time for you than you will know. And yes, it has come upon you suddenly, unexpectedly. And yes, it's going to test your faith to the very core of your being. And where we are weak in that area, and let's face it, all of us are weak when it comes to these matters, really. And when we are weak, and God will put us through the cooker of that time, He wants our faith to be strengthened so that on the other side of that trial, we will come through. We will learn patience. We will come through that fiery trial. And the Lord is burning off the excess things in our life that are not necessary. He is burning away the dross to bring out the pure gold. For when we are tried, we will come forth as the purest of metal for the Lord. Is that not what we want our lives to be for Him? Oh, my dear friend, tonight, let us think very carefully and solemnly about these matters. The trial will certainly test our faith to the very core. But I want you to also understand here in this is that God's sovereign love is behind every trial in your life. God's sovereign love is behind every trial in your life. Our loving Heavenly Father will never do anything to harm us. Though it may seem very twisted and exceedingly hurtful at the time, yet, my friend, the Lord always intends for our good. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right, Abraham said? And yet let us not judge the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace, for behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. Are those words familiar? I hope so. We sang them this morning. William Cooper's hymn. Yes, my dear friend, our God is a God of love. Can we understand the words of Romans 8 and verse 28? That God designs and purposes that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Can we put that into our hearts and receive that word very firmly? That the Lord will never do us any harm. For He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also freely with Him give us all things? And my dear friends, the giving of all things to us, they're going to come sometimes by a hard road. And by a road that is paved with a loving hand of a loving Father in heaven. Let us not be tempted to question the love of God to us and for us and toward us in these times, because in so doing we dishonor Him. And we thought this morning about the honor that God gave to His Son, because the honor of Christ was that He never dishonored His Father. And He never questioned anything that His Father was doing in His life. And He said, I do always those things that please Him. And oh, that we might have the same mind of the Lord Jesus, that we'll be able to say, I do always, Lord. I desire to do always those things that please You. Even though we are limited and faulty and broken and failing and full of wounds and bruises. Ah, my dear friend, the Lord's love is behind all of these situations in our life. And therefore, let us, dare I say it, embrace them. Dare I say, let us reach out and say, Lord, whatever You have for our lives, give me the understanding and the faith to receive that and not to resist the dealings of God in our lives, not to push them aside, not to become bitter and angry against God. Friends, that's a long and a hard road to go. Would you notice also that at the end of the trial that will be brought to us, we will be closer to God, closer to Him. The hymn writer said, close to Thee, close to Thee. That was the prayer. And at the end of what God is doing in us, at the end of what the Lord did here in Abraham's life, for we know the situation and the story, we have read the context so clearly, that Abraham went up and built that altar, and it took time. And every likelihood that young Isaac was there fetching those stones to give to his father to build that altar. And he carried the wood up on his back. And that wood was set in order on top of those rough stones until Abraham laid hold upon his son and bound his hands and set him upon that altar and raise that knife over him to kill his son? How would that trial ever have brought Abraham closer to God? Because, my friend, we read in the book of Hebrews that Abraham believed God. And he believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. So strong was that conviction, so firm was the promise the Lord had given to him. And he was able to even go beyond his human understanding of what he was going to do. He believed in a God that was greater than his human understanding. Do we do that? Or do we often limit God by our human understanding? That's often what I do. I think it's often what you do. But the Lord has a great purpose in bringing us to these situations that we will be made closer to Him. James says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And you've prayed that prayer, I think, some of you in your hearts. You say, Lord, I want to come closer to you. I want to draw near in order that the Lord will draw near to us. But you know, sometimes the method that God will use in drawing us near to Him is not the way we want to go, because it's by the pathway of a trial. And oh, dear friends, you are in the hand of a loving God that can never let you go and that will never do you any harm. And therefore, when we cast ourselves completely upon Him and abandon ourselves to the Lord, then He will have us as clay in the hands of the great potter. And He will do His perfect work. Ah, but friend, behind this trial is the greatest expression of the love of God and His sacrifice for us. Because we know that He stayed Abraham's hand. We know a ram was caught there and offered in the place. And the very name of that place, Abraham said, it's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will come to give an offering. He will put a sacrifice of Himself and for Himself. And they were on the top of Mount Moriah. And many believe that that is Mount Calvary. And there it was that the Lord Jesus would die in our place and become our sacrifice for sin. And for all uncleanness, and that a fountain would be opened up to cleanse us and to wash us from all of our sins. Oh, my dear friend, the greatest picture in that trial, the greatest picture in that whole account is that of the Lord Jesus who went to be our sacrifice. He is the Lamb that was provided. Indeed, Jehovah Jireh is right of a name for that place because He provided Himself a lamb. And the Savior has died in our place. Oh, my friend, we come tonight to say to the Lord, I don't understand the magnitude of the love of God in Christ Jesus. I don't understand why He would love a wretched sinner like me. I don't understand, Lord, why I was not cast off. And yet the Lord has not cast us off. He has brought us in. And one has died in our place. Friend, do you know the Savior in your heart? Have you heard the gospel message over and over again? So much so that you turn off your ears. You close off your heart. But God is in mercy giving you another opportunity. And how many times have people been at the very verge of salvation, we could say, But they have rejected the word and they've gone out of a gospel meeting or they've turned off their computer. And that was the last time that God was going to give them an opportunity. And something has happened. And they have been cast off in death. And cast off from the Lord forever. Friend, do not let that be your situation. Do not let that be your case. Do not harden yourself as in the day of provocation. We read that this morning in Psalm 95. Do not be a rebel in your heart, but relinquish your arms of resistance and humble yourself and say, Lord, please save me. I don't deserve anything. But you have provided for me your only begotten Son. Help me, Lord, this day, therefore, to receive him. And you have to say that in your heart as you come to the Lord tonight. Do not delay, my friend. Do not put off. And believer, the conclusion of all this is quite simply that God does these things for our good. He also does them so that others might benefit and be guided through the faith that God gives to us. But ultimately, don't forget this, it is for the glory of God alone. And that is why. And so, when tomorrow some telephone call comes, some email comes in, some situation that just completely has shocked you, just remember that God is the author and the finisher of our faith, and He is working all things to the honor of His great and holy name. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, I pray that this precious scripture tonight, that Lord, it would not just go off our back as water off a duck. Let it not just be forgotten so quickly. But Lord, teach us, we pray. Help us to rest upon the great promise that our God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, the one who sees all, the one who will carry us through to the very end. Increase our faith, I pray. Bless this congregation of your people. Strengthen us, Lord. Please forgive us for our sins and wash us. And don't let there be any hindrance that would hold back the blessing of God upon us. So, Lord, take us to our homes now in safety. And we pray that we would know blessing in our own day-to-day walk and fellowship. And, Lord, teach us, help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. Separate us now in thy fear with thy rich blessing. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.